This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. I'm Mark Bertrand, joined alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. Patriots now 1-1. After beating the Minnesota Vikings today on the road, 30-7, the final score. Patriots, I guess the big story of the game was all the turnovers that they forced, or maybe they were given by Matt Castle in this game. But 30-7, a good bounce back for the Patriots in week number two, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I thought they improved or rebounded, bounced back, as you'd say, in a number of areas. I think as we all expected. Now, it might not have been quite as clean a win as some of us would have expected, and I know penalties are going to be a major talking point moving forward, but yeah, you went on the road and took care of business when you were in a situation where you should take care of business.
Yeah, I agree totally. Style points were sort of out the window today. They needed to bounce back and play better, and I thought specifically on the lines they needed to play better, and I think they did. Now, you're right, there was some other things that happened, and boy, was it ugly on that first drive. But they settled right down after that. I thought they made some adjustments I'm sure we're going to get into in the next 2 hours.
They adjusted to Matt Asiato, your guy?
And they cleaned some things up. Now, there's a lot of things still. This is one of those perfect kind of Bill Belichick things. You win, and you're able to sort of lambaste. I mean, 15 penalties and all the mistakes that you made, you're able to really get on them while winning instead of having to really put it all back together.
Which week looked like it was going to, potentially could have been after one half.
Right. You got a block punt, and then you looked like you were going to win anyway. This week, you got the special teams touchdown with the block field goal. A lot of stuff to be happy about, but a lot of stuff still to work on.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you to jump on board during the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. 855-PATS-500 if you want to send an email. You could do. Are you okay over there, Andy?
Sorry, I was watching highlights on my big new screen TV, or new big screen TV, too.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. I don't remember that. And Andy's going to give us an international number. He forgot to do that in the pregame.
Well, it is an afternoon game, so we have various time zones all across the world. I'm going to go simple. I'm going to go Japan. 00-531-161-396. 00-53-11-61-39-6.
He does it perfect every time. 59-6.
So we're looking to hear from Japan.
End of the single digit.
All right, let's go.
I like it better when it's 59-60.
Let's go out to the phones, and we're going to have plenty of thoughts on this game. But
we go right to the phones? That's how we do it?
Yeah, we're going to get to the couple phone calls before we get to the good, the bad, and the intro.
Oh, I can't get a feel for what we do here.
Going to the phones.
Okay.
All right.
Then go to the phone.
Liam in North Carolina. Hey, Liam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Liam!
Hey! So, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are now going to, you know, last week they're going to think that the Patriots were the worst team in the NFL. Now they're going to think they're the best. I think maybe somewhere just above that average. But the one thing I got out of this game is I was glad to see that they looked a little bit more aggressive. I can take the penalties if they're getting after the ball, and it showed. I mean, what, 4 picks? And it was amazing to see the defense actually come out and some of the guys that we expected to play.
Yeah, I thought Chandler Jones in particular had a bounce back week was certainly energetic, got a couple sacks in there, which weren't roughing the passer calls like last week. Obviously had the blocked kick, scoop and score, touchdown where he was flying around out there. I thought he certainly looked like he had energy. I thought Hightower looked like he had energy. I thought Mayo early on was coming. He had that run blitz with the tackle for a loss. He had another blitz where he just, you know, probably could have had a sack at a half second quicker. Ninkovich got involved with the pass rush. You know, we saw some more four-man fronts. We saw some Chris Jones. I thought, all in all, the front was better than it certainly was last
week. I agree with the point about the aggressiveness. I do think they, as you pointed out, the run blitz by Mayo, because they got carved up on the first possession, first drive, and then he changed some stuff. And I thought it wasn't just the scheme, but I thought there was the mentality. I thought they went after it a little bit more. I agree with the caller.
Had a Kyle Arrington sack. I guess he got a hit. He didn't quite get there. But Kyle Arrington blitzing off the corner. We've seen him
good
as that pass
today.
Rusher.
They had good pressure today on the pass.
I thought they were a little more energetic and effective up front.
Do we know what this team is, though?
No.
Is 1-1.
You know, in terms of what we saw last week versus what we saw this week are obviously two different ends of the spectrum. But do we have a firm grasp on what they are yet? I don't think we do.
Well, I'll tell you right now, just my negative side to this. This dominant defense isn't dominant yet. Nowhere near dominant yet. No, they made some strides up front, but I still think they have questions in the back end. I'll continue to say, if Nate Ebner is going to be a regular part of the defense on the field, and again, we saw Nate Ebner, you're not a dominant defense. I'm sorry. You're not. Don't tell me that he is going to become like this key player. You know, there are still some questions in the back end. We talked about in the pregame show, obviously, with Dennard hurt. You had some more questions. You had Arrington on the outside. That didn't hurt you. We talked, you know, the Revis thing. He did end up matching up for most of the day with Jennings.
Mostly with Jennings.
Chasing him around the field to mixed degrees of success. Obviously, he had the interception, but he had some plays I thought were his trailing. You know, To me, they're still very much a, quote-unquote work in progress for that dominant defense. And offense, the same thing. I mean, this offense, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm laughing at the Peter Brady.
In offense, it's an offense.
Laughing at how long you talked. Laughing at how high your voice went.
Well, I realized as I was finishing that sentence that I'm kind of being disrespectful by saying, you know, the defense, you're a work in progress. Clearly, this offense is a work in progress, too. You know, we got the same thing. We're going to be dominant when Julian Edelman is allowed to dominate, and as long as we have James Devlin playing his key role. The rest of it, it was sort of lacking, right? Ridley came on late. I thought he ran hard early,
obviously,
and then his yards kind of picked up of late.
I thought Ridley ran exceptionally hard today and did a good job, because I don't think the blocking was all that good in the run blocking.
Certainly not for a team that had six offensive linemen on the field, because Cameron Fleming played a whole hell of a lot.
He avoided contact in the backfield, I thought, a lot today.
Ridley finishing the game, 25 carries for 101 with a touchdown. Just to get to one email, which I think, Paul, you will disagree with strongly. Lamont writes in, the Patriots need a serious running back ASAP. Ridley is not it. He makes a lot of movement, but he doesn't go anywhere.
I don't disagree with that vehemently. I think they need to get better at running back.
Well,
I thought he ran really hard today, but I think he's a limited guy. I thought he did a good job today avoiding contact, as I said, in the backfield. I didn't think that he was running through major holes, but I do think you can get better at running back.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams can get better at running back, but it's not as if the Patriots are suffering because of their running back situation.
Well, that's a very Fred Kirsch-like response.
I know there's a guy available.
Immediately go about what all the other teams do.
I know there's a guy available if you guys want to make a trade.
Well, saying simply they could get better at running back, yeah, I bet you
don't
make
that
case for half the teams in the league.
No, I think most teams have a better running back than Stephen Ridley. That's just my opinion. I don't think he's that good.
All right. Well, Paul doesn't disagree. Paul's on board.
Get
rid of Stephen Ridley.
Make
a trade for Peterson then, Paul, if that's what you want.
Yeah, that's
right.
I bet
you right now could straight up trade Ridley for Peterson.
I bet you could too, but I wouldn't do it.
Why?
Neither would Robert Kraft.
He never said that. He didn't.
Let's get to the good, the bad.
He didn't.
Let's get to the good, the bad, the injury.
He said Rice couldn't play for him.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I was fallen. And I can't get up!
On the Patriots postgame show.
All right, time for the good, the bad, and the injured. Let's start with the good. What did you like today out there? What did you see on the field that made you smile?
I think we're going to have to go quickly in the good and the bad so we can get to all the guys I thought got injured. We'll talk about that later. Chandler Jones, I liked what I saw from him. I thought, you know, he had some more opportunities to play outside, some outside linebacker on some snaps as a 3-4, and then some 4-3 stuff. He was standing up, doing some different things. I thought he looked aggressive. The one thing I didn't like was sort of the cheap shot block on one of the interceptions, 63.
And then the celebration after
it. Yeah, that was really what did me in. Because you know I actually kind of
like
some of those.
You like the cheap shot blocks.
But to do the
You and I
dance,
have argued about those.
Yes, to do the dance afterwards makes you look like kind of a DB.
Yeah, like you're not a bad man because you blindsided a guy.
Right.
I just look at that as just such a – there's not a player in the league that couldn't have made that block. So what are you celebrating?
Right.
Right. You can coyly walk away and I'll give it to you, but when you, you know, just wipe your arms and do a dance – that left a bad taste in my mouth, but overall, his performance.
He was excellent.
Very good taste in my mouth.
I would agree with.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know why he put it that way. I would agree with his overall premise.
What kind of taste is in your mouth?
I thought Chandler Jones was much more active. I liked Bill Belichick finally saying, and we joked about it at the beginning, and, you know, we knew better than him. He should. Well, it took him one more drive, and he said, "Okay, enough is enough." And he changed it. And I like the fact that they changed that. I think it's the personnel that he has is better suited for that. Obviously, Deontay Skinner wasn't quite ready for.
He realized that
an expanded role, and he didn't let it linger.
It
was a bad drive, and he got away from that. So I like the attitude right away. There was an attitude change and adjustment in personnel, which I really liked. I already said that I really liked the way Ridley ran today.
But you don't like him.
I don't think he's that good. But that doesn't mean I didn't think he had a good game. That's why I guess to if you want to say that I'm vehemently disagree with the email, I would say today wasn't the day for that email.
That's a weird email today, don't you think?
Today wasn't the day for that email. I thought he ran hard today and ran well.
But the one thing is, say you were just watching this game on Gamecast or one of those stat-based things. Steven Ridley was 2 and change, whatever, for a while, and Vereen was like 7 and change. Yet I thought Vereen just took advantage of long yardage situations.
Vereen did nothing today.
That, you know, the type of runs that defenses will give you, you know, and he was getting those.
Now, do you make anything of the fact, and I'm sorry, I know we're in the middle
this
is more analytical. I mean, do you make anything other than just maybe it was a game plan thing with Minnesota of almost kind of a change? Last week it seemed like Vereen was the back that was out there for 2/3 of the snaps. This week it was Ridley.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, do you make anything of that? Do you think there was an effort to say, well, let's get, you know, we lost the battle with the line. We're going to go out. We're going to buckle the chin straps. We're going to get physical today. We want to run the football. Or was it just because that was the thing to do against Minnesota?
I can't get inside Bill Belichick's head.
Do you have a guess?
I think a little bit of both. I think they probably thought they could run on him, and then I think they probably said, we got our asses handed to him. Let's hand somebody their asses. But clearly, coming out with Ridley, Devlin, and Fleming, you know, that was the plan.
Yeah.
We're going to
line
up, get big, and hit
you. Four plays last week, I believe. I think it was 4 snaps.
Well, he was a situational.
He had that in the first drive today.
Last week, it was a situational type thing. This week, it was just like almost the base offense was Fleming as a tight end. And, you know, as I said, I didn't think they were quite as dominant as you probably should be if that's your plan of attack. But.
Plus, the score would make it look like it was much more dominant than
right.
that.
Well, let's be honest. The biggest factor in the score was Matt Cassel throwing the ball to you.
Yeah, and I would also say that the blocked field goal, because it goes from 17-10 to 24-7.
Huge swing there.
And even with the interception return to the 1 yard line, so I mean, they basically had 14 points off of the defense and special teams. But even if you say the other one, the blocked field goal completely changed the whole game and was the key.
Block Man Jones.
Huge swing. Huge swing.
Is that a name?
No.
Yeah, I don't know that it is. More positives. Julian Edelman in the passing game, I thought, was, again, 6 catches today.
Did you say in the passing game or in the passing game?
In the passing game.
Okay. In the passing game.
No, I think that's key wording in that sentence.
The rest
if
of the passing game
If you said Julian Edelman
not good.
And the passing game was good, I would have jumped down your throat.
No, I said in the passing game.
That's what he does. He'll attack
No, 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 but
yeah. speak.
I wanted to clarify.
Well, there
because,
wasn't much else.
Right, that's my point.
Right? I mean,
Julian Edelman
had 6 catches, 81 yards, a touchdown.
But I would add.
He is going to be, I guess, the biggest part of this passing game for the rest of the season. The
and I would also add in his punt return. He had two effective punt returns today, too.
So I'm putting him in the good call.
He's in the
As
good
you
call.
Definitely should. The rest of the passing attack, not so sure.
What do we think about Gronkowski after 2 weeks?
Well, first of all, just talking about him today was interesting. The lack of snaps in the first half, and then it seemed like sort of a boost in the second half. They came out through maybe 2 of the first 3 plays, I think, through to him. First reception was the first play, I believe, of the third quarter for the Patriots offense. So clearly they were managing it, I guess, a little bit differently this game. I didn't think he looked great. You know, I think the first play we talked about, they showed a replay and sort of a slow-mo, and it sort of looked a little bit off again, like he's not quite fluid, or what was Paul's word?
Clumsy. That was someone, an emailer or a caller in the pregame show.
So, yeah, I expected him to be the bounce-back guy. Clearly, the answer to the bounce-back question that I had was Chandler Jones, and I got to give people a lot of credit in the pregame social. Chandler Jones was indeed the bounce-back player of the week, in my opinion, for the Patriots. My selection of Rob Gronkowski, I would not give him credit for that. Again, I was a little underwhelmed by what I saw from Gronk, and I think that leads you to be a little bit, I'm not saying it's time to be scared, but a little more concerned of how long it's going to take Gronk to look like Gronk.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would also put that I thought we talked about how the offensive line, they needed to get better on both sides of the line, and I thought they did. The tackles specifically, though, because they're the better players. And Nate Solder and Sebastian Vollmer have been good players for this team, and I thought their protection today was much, much better. I didn't see anything, really, from Griffin or Roberson that stood out to me at all. So I know they're not Cameron Wake. Those two guys are not as good as Cameron Wake, but they were non-factors today. So give Vollmer and Solder credit.
Danny Amendola had one target in this game. One target this
well,
entire
sort of two.
Game. So, okay.
One was wiped out. He had a nice big play wiped out by the offensive pass interference.
Fine, give him two. He's not involved enough.
Nope.
Not involved
enough.
Nope. And this goes into the bad column. We're just kind of mixing them together now because we're talking about the passing game. But I'm sorry, he's got to be more involved.
Well, I mean, I don't just limit it to him, though. LaFell, Kembrell Tompkins inactive, Dobson didn't look great. The complimentary receivers right now are lacking. The complimentary receiver on this offense, and I was kind of joking on Twitter, but so far was James Devlin, right? No, I'm being serious. Who had more production today, Devlin or Amendola?
James Devlin.
Who had more production today, Devlin or Tompkins?
Devlin.
Trick question. Who had more production today, Devlin or LaFell?
Dobson.
Or Dobson.
So Beadle.
Yeah.
So if he actually did play fantasy, like his nickname or his fantasy name would be like James Devlin's neck roll.
Right.
Something like that.
Rolling with the Devlins. Neck rolling with the Devlins or something.
Something like that.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. I happen to love him, and it's great, but it's not great that he is the second receiver.
Tom Brady, 15 of 22 today, 149 yards passing, a touchdown.
Did he alleviate any of your concerns from last week?
A little bit, because you know what? He played efficiently in this game.
He was efficient.
He did. He wasn't anything that was, you know, I would say he wasn't outstanding or anything.
But is that him or is that the lack of what we just talked about? Other receivers?
I think it's the lack of the other things, but he played an efficient game and he looked like himself.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Give him credit. You know, it's not as flashy as Chandler Jones, the bounce back, but Tom Brady bounced back. The only thing is, yes, Brady looked bad last week. Certainly in the second half, he missed a lot of throws, but he was okay in the first half. Not great. But he was okay. The bottom fell out right when he started getting beaten up. And we've always said,
I agree,
when Brady gets beat up, sometimes accuracy and other things kind of trickle off of that, and he's not as
and
good.
And he was kept clean today. It's
right.
A good point, Andy, because he wasn't under siege.
Thanks,
like he was last week. Well, after I yelled at you earlier, I have to suck up to you now.
You yelled at me?
Well, yeah, I got a little angry at you earlier, so I want to suck up to you now.
When?
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Why
are you mad at me?
Now I'm mad at you. Now I forget what we were talking
good
about.
Good news is Patriots only
Brady,
one game back of Brady the dominant
was,
Bills.
Brady was clean in the pocket today, and I thought for the most part he was accurate, but there were some uncharacteristic throws, I thought, to tightly covered guys that I don't necessarily want to throw to when they're tightly covered, like James Devlin.
Like James Devlin.
Oh, I got no problem with that. Dobson, when he was tightly covered,
Dobson,
I got a problem
first
with that.
Dobson made the catch.
First completion of the day.
He made the grab. What else are we missing?
Well,
what do you got?
Devlin.
What do you got? Good, bad, otherwise. What do we have?
I don't know if it's good. Devy, you know, they didn't jump ship on Devy. We're talking about sort of reactionary changing things. They go to four-man front.
It's a good thing they didn't give up a sack on the first drive of the game because Devy would have been on the bench.
But they stuck with that. We'll see where that's going. Then we got a taste late. I'm not going to go down that road again. So we got a little sneak peek late of Brian Stork at center replacing Dan Conley, who played the bulk of the game at center.
Was it a good taste in your mouth or a
stop.
Bad taste?
We saw Malcolm Butler. That's
pretty creepy.
So, you know, there's guys that are continuing to sort of work their way in. The bad, did we include, I know we referenced him, Skinner, in the bad? Him chasing?
No.
Okay, well, he was in the bad.
I just had made the comment that he looked like he wasn't ready yet.
Their backup fill-in was better than our backup fill-in with Matt Asiato and everything. Don't take Mayo off the hook early. He sucked, too, early on.
They looked – I thought that first drive of the game
– was problematic.
Was as bad a defense. I mean, it's one thing to just give up like a one-play, 80-yard touchdown. That was as bad of a drive that you'll see a defense allow. They were non-competitive on five, six, whatever many plays that drive took. They were non-competitive on all of them.
You know what that was like? It was almost like they were the team that lost their guy.
Yeah.
You know, like Peterson had been their guy, and they just were emotionally distraught on the first drive. But it was the exact opposite. They're the team playing the team, and the team had lost their guy.
Because I got to be honest, when we did the pregame, I didn't really, in my mind, I wasn't thinking there was any chance that Minnesota had to really be competitive in this game without Peterson.
And you were right, except for the first drive.
But when that drive happened, the way it happened, I was like, wow. I didn't think it was this bad last week.
Mark thought Asiato might actually get 62.5 yards.
But I was thinking, you know, well, you got a couple of guys out of the lineup in Collins and Dennard, and now you got some people in here. I already think that depth is a problem on this team in general. I know that people have been of the belief that it's a very deep team. I think they're deep at cornerback, but I don't think they're really deep at a lot of other spots.
Are they deep now at cornerback?
You know, maybe not. Now that
Dennard's hurt and Browner's
out. So you have two guys out. Maybe you're not as, you know, but I thought Logan Ryan was competitive today. I'm like, that wasn't a huge drop off. I thought he was competitive. He made some plays. He got beat sometimes, had some bad penalties. That's going to happen with your third or fourth cornerback. I thought Kyle Arrington made one of the best plays of the day today, tackling Patterson in the open field. Now, I'm not talking about the one he got trucked on. I'm talking about when he zigzagged across the field.
Matt Asiata. 13 carries, 36 yards.
He didn't quite get there.
But he did add 5 catches for 48. So he did have over 80 yards of offense, but not all in the running.
He wasn't bad.
He
got taken out of the game by the Matt Castle.
But you know who didn't show up? Paul's guy that he was promoting forever.
Matt Castle.
No, the other guy. The
McKinnon?
The versatile guy.
He didn't
was
even do
a
anything.
Game changer.
He wasn't out there.
I didn't say he was a game changer. They're unbelievable.
See,
this is like Jarius Wright dropped a pass early in the game. He goes, "Your guy." I go, "I don't even know who that is, Jarius Wright."
Well, as a team, Minnesota rushed for 54 yards.
That was Castle's fault.
Well,
because if they were going to stay competitive in this game, they needed to keep the score in check, and they needed to continue to run the football. And Castle threw the ball, and I made the comment. You want to make fun of me? I made a comment. Castle won't be throwing the ball to the other team 5 times. No, four.
He was consistent, though, right? 1 per quarter?
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
He struggled. And the interceptions, unlike last week when I thought the Patriots' defense forced some turnovers, the McCourty play was a terrific play by McCourty, but the throw was way late.
Right.
The one to Revis, he threw. It was like Revis was the intended receiver. I think there was a communication thing
there where the guy stopped and he thought he was going to keep going and at least be competitive for the football, because there was no competition for the football. It was Revis's.
And it was similar on the Logan Ryan pick to Patterson. It looked like it was thrown to Ryan. Now the last one was deflected pass. I'll give Castle a pass on that one. But the other three would basically give gimmies.
Well, speaking of Logan Ryan, he will join us here on the program from the Patriots locker room coming up momentarily. So we will have a chance to talk to Logan Ryan. What'd you think of his day?
I thought he was great, just in case he's on the line.
No, he's not on the line. I wouldn't ask you that question with him on the line.
Very competitive. I will give you very competitive. Oh, boy. J.J. Watt with his first career touchdown. Is that what it is?
See, this is not good, Andy.
You guys blame me for that.
As a tight end.
This is not what we're looking for.
That's noteworthy.
Yeah, yeah.
$100 million man or whatever the hell he is got a tight end.
That's
good. You know who wanted him to have that? Mike Vrabel, his linebacker's coach. I've got to get Watt involved in the offense. I thought Logan Ryan was competitive.
He was. He made some play. This is the point that I just made about they have a little depth at cornerback. As a third or fourth cornerback to come in, he gave up some plays, but he made some too. He got some penalties. I like the fact that he's around the ball. There's not a huge amount of separation. When he gives up a pass or a play or whatever, he's going to get some penalties because he plays an aggressive style. That's how I want him to play. They won't call him all. He's going to get called sometimes, but they're not going to call him all. I like the way he plays.
He got Barry Sandered a little bit by Cordarrelle Patterson, but other than that, I think he was competitive. And you're right, it's going to be the balance of the penalties, the physicality, what's allowed to be sort of part of the game that day, and what isn't.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. As far as the injured goes, who was there? Can the injured players there?
Andy's going to take this segment.
Andy, during the course of the game, was telling us left and right, oh, that guy's hurt.
Well, I thought it looked like Rob Ninkovich tweaked a wrist early. He kept playing, had sacks after it, so obviously that was nothing.
Revis? What do you got on Revis?
Looked like Darrell Revis got hit, made a tackle on Asiato, your guy, but looked like he injured his right shoulder on that. Keep an eye on that. It looked like Julian Edelman got a little dinged up headwise early, was looked at, stayed in there, and I think that's it.
Okay.
Else? You got anything else?
So you got a Ninkovich wrist.
Ninkovich wrist.
Edelman head.
Edelman head, Revis right shoulder.
Right shoulder. And yet none of them, to my knowledge, missed a play.
I'm just
after their supposed injuries.
That is correct. Okay. Okay, correct,
we'll talk later.
Okay, we'll talk later.
We'll keep an eye on that injury report, practice report next week.
And the chances of any of them being on it?
Slim.
I stand by my observations.
We've got some emails coming in from Stefan in Germany. Here's my take on the good, the bad, and the injured. Good, Edelman, Chandler Jones, Ridley, Goskowski.
Yeah, we should have included
him.
Couple 40 burgers, as Fred puts it.
And four, I believe, touchbacks, some of which were good, extra point, through the upright.
Well, yeah, there was clearly a win that way because their guy, I don't even know his name, did it too. That the first like five rows of that section there, all in purple, a good place to catch a ball if the wind's going the right way.
The bad, Bolden, getting a lot of Bolden hate on the emails here. Offensive play calling, second half offense, Gronk, overall sloppy play. I can't remember that a team coached by Bill Belichick that's been penalized as much as this.
Well, you know, because it was a record, right? It was the most for a Belichick coach team.
Is that true?
Well, with the Patriots anyway.
With the Patriots.
15 penalties for what, 143 today, I think was the number?
Yeah.
And we're going by CBS, by the way.
That was clearly part of the bad, the penalties. And I thought, especially after last week, that would be cleaned up.
Sorry, 15 for 163 today.
And there were a lot of declined penalties, too, today, by the way. They committed more than 15.
Maybe they're just doing business being done. Didn't Seattle this morning, weren't they one of the most penalized teams?
Seattle, they were, teams.
No, I'm pretty sure they were among the most last year.
Last in terms of defense, in terms of penalties in the secondary, they led the league.
I thought
it was the opposite.
No.
I thought they were one of the least penalized secondaries.
I don't think so.
And
no,
I know in the preseason they've had none.
No,
their
preseason
secondary
they
last
had none.
Year was the most penalized secondary in football.
And it worked out for
I must have read that story wrong. Either that or I read
No, in the preseason, they were definitely.
No, I know that, but I thought in that same story it said that everybody blames this on Seattle because they never got called for penalties.
All right, we got to go out to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're being joined on the line right now by Patriots defensive back Logan Ryan. Logan, congratulations on the win and for your pick today. What'd you see on that play?
Just a great, great play call, great pass rush, everyone else. Did their job, covered their man, and it was a play I saw earlier in the game, and wasn't going to let it go twice, and I made the most of it.
Defensively, you guys obviously had some issues in the second half last week. As a team, you had some issues, and I have to imagine that playing 60 minutes of football was one of those things that Bill Belichick was preaching this week. Is that right, and how did you feel like you guys handled that?
Without a doubt. I mean, he always preaches playing 60 minutes. Great teams do that. So it was definitely a huge emphasis for us to come out, start a little better in the second half and finish the game. And we were able to do that. We were able to stop them, the last possession to end it with no points. So it was what we were looking forward to doing. It was mission accomplished.
Logan, I'm curious. When you have a guy like Adrian Peterson that clearly had to be a huge part of your game plan throughout the week, and you find out on Friday, late Friday, that he's out, how much scrambling was there with the coaching staff, with you guys maybe on Saturday? How much did it change? Obviously, I'm not looking for you to tell me what you guys did or, game plan wise, but how much changing went on between Friday and game day?
That's more of a question you got to ask the coaches, but I wouldn't say much. As a corner, my job is to, to cover my man, to stop the pass, and to fill in a run when need be. And, we have a lot of guys, a lot of great players whose job is to stop the run. And they're able to do that. Adrian Peterson or not, they were able to do that today. It really doesn't fall too much on me, so that's more of a question you got to ask the coaches there.
Logan, speaking of players that you got a game plan for, I'm sure Cordarrelle Patterson was a big part of that game plan. How did you guys take him out of this game? For the most part, he was held in check today.
Yeah, definitely. Dynamic player. We know he's a go-to guy. He's special with the ball in his hands. And it just came down to great, great fundamentals. There was nothing too special. He was playing great football, be physical when need be. take the opportunities when he presents them, but basically just be a team and rally up and tackle when he catches the ball and really keep an eye on him.
One of the things one of your teammates, Dante Hightower, has been preaching is fun. So, you know, since the end of last year, he said, for him, it's all about fun. When you're having fun, you play better football. You're not worried about what you're doing. You're sort of doing it out there. Do you feel like you guys played having fun today with the plays you were able to make, the pressures, the interceptions, the different things you were able to do?
I would think so. I think we have an experienced group out here. A lot of guys have a lot of games under their belt. And, you know, when you don't have to worry about someone else not doing their job, you just focus on doing your job and it's going well. I think as a group, everyone's going to have fun. It's really, you do your piece of the puzzle, it'll all come together, and everyone's going to enjoy it.
Logan Ryan joining us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Congratulations on the win, Logan, and best of luck going forward.
Appreciate it. You guys take care.
Right, thanks,
take
Logan.
Care. Logan Ryan joining us here on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. And, of course, I hit the microphone thinking it was off, and it was actually on.
Now he's turning his mic
off
to say something to a guest on the
instead of turning it off.
Meanwhile, the Jets up 14-0 in Lambeau.
Yeah, that's a problem. So thank you to Logan.
You're a loser.
Thanks. Thank you to Logan Ryan for taking a couple minutes and joining us after this game.
You were much more diplomatic than I would have been, by the way.
With what?
Because when you asked your Cordarrelle Patterson question, I was going to ask him, you know, a similar Cordarrelle Patterson question, but I was also going to ask him about the play in which he spun him around a little bit like Barry Sanders.
Because well, that's you. You tend to fixate
that's what
on
you're doing. You're trying to troll the players like
no,
that?
No, I'm not trying to troll. I'm just... That's the way it works. When there's an elite guy on the other side, you're not going to win every play. They won X percentage of plays on the day, but I think once you walk away with a big win, you can acknowledge, yeah,
well,
I get a little taste of it on that play.
I think they won the day against that particular player.
That's what I said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not,
no
I'm not just talking about winning
but
the game. They
see,
won
to
the
me,
day.
You're an a-hole if you say, if you lose the game and Patterson had a .180 and you go, wow, he really kicked your ass today, Logan. No. You guys held him in check, but you got a little taste of it on that one play.
We all can't be as cynical as Andy Hart.
That's true.
That's what it comes down to.
That's true.
Just can't all be that.
No, that's. I'm still learning the post game show. I didn't know we just lobbed up softballs nonstop. I'm learning.
Well,
from
I don't
you.
Know why you wouldn't know that. This is Patriots.com radio.
I thought
Fred Kirsch is our boss.
I only work here one day a week. I'm trying to make sure I maintain that one day of work.
How many more weeks you got?
Sean's in New Hampshire. Hey, Sean.
What's up, fellas? I'm fired up. Great win by the Pats. Woo! How do we feel about our first regular season victory? Oh, yeah!
Well done.
Okay. All right, Sean. Thanks right, for the then. Call. Let's
you
go.
Were right. They don't seem worried about some of the ugly aspects of the victory.
Let's go to Brian in South Dakota. Hey, Brian.
5 for 14, a third down goes longer than you think.
Brian.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
All I got to say is love Chester. He's the man. I'm going to try to make this call as quick and short as possible. Not sure about the taste in Andy's mouth, but I got to say the good, definitely Brady bouncing back a little bit. Chandler Jones, the bad, that first drive. Also on the good, actually, Logan Ryan. Loved the scrappy play. Got to say Ridley, he held on to the ball. That'd definitely be part of my good. The bad, well, like I said, first drive, and the injured, I about crapped myself when I saw Darrell go down.
Oh, you saw that too?
You have no idea how it is to be a Pats fan in the Midwest with all these Denver guys, Minnesota guys, and Kansas City guys around here. So it's good to see a win. Anyway, over and out. Thanks, guys.
All right, Brian. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Brian.
Certainly have a leg up on those Minnesota guys right now.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I don't know
bit.
About the Denver guys. You might want to pace yourself on
Denver up early in their game. We have plenty more to talk about this game, and maybe we'll touch on the other ones happening around the NFL as well. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you if you want to jump on board. You can email webradio@patriots.com. We're going to be getting to those in just a couple of minutes. And want to remind you that Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system that every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $399 at a Microsoft store near you. 855-PATS-500, that's the phone number here on the Xbox One postgame show on Patriots.com. More to come.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. talking about today's win, 30-7. The Patriots move to 1-1 on the year. Our thanks again to Logan Ryan for joining us today after he had three tackles and a pick in this game today. I thought it was a fine interview with a number of challenging questions for the Patriots defensive back. Well, Andy would
Paul
disagree.
Paul asked him for the game plan.
Andy would disagree.
Well, I was a little thrown off when I was told to shut up.
Max is in San Diego.
Ain't gonna be no more of those shut ups.
And he joins us next. Hey, Max.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Not too bad. Nice bounce back day, huh?
Yeah, very good bounce back day. That's part of my point. We are still all in here in San Diego. I told you.
Yes.
And,
you told us
let
what?
Let me go ahead and address the Fairweather fans out there, the Fairweather Pats fans, because we got quite a few. And I haven't met a few of them out here, but I'm sure they're out there.
I'm sure
they're out there. Can I address them for just a quick second?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Turn your radios up, because I'm only going to say this one time.
Oh, boy.
You're all fired. Every single one of you. You're all fired. Get the hell off the ship. You're all fired. Swim your ass back. You're no longer on this bandwagon. Next thing I want to say, damn good job. I knew they could do it. We all knew they could do it. We're staying all in. That's all I got to say. Thanks, fellas.
All right, Max.
See you, Max.
Thanks for the call.
I want to just bring our listeners in on a little. You know, we bring them inside. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's we call it PFW in progress during
sure.
the week, Beetle. But, you know, this is a little Xbox One post-game show in progress. As we're walking down here, Andy suggested that perhaps we go over-the-top positive. You know, with everything that the Patriots did well today, and we just say how great a bounce back win it was, in an effort perhaps to have some callers call in to suggest that it wasn't all perfect, that maybe, you know, 15 penalties, 5 for 15 or whatever it was on third down, I don't know, 200 yards of offense. I mean, they didn't have that many yards of offense today. There was a lot of the first drive of the game, boom, 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 touchdown. And Mark and I looked at Andy and said, you can't do that because no one will call in with the other side. And that, my friends, was proof positive that had you gone fishing for someone to do the positive work for you, I mean, the negative work for you, you weren't going to find it.
Okay.
I knew they could do it, was the quote of that guy. I knew they could do it. I knew they could beat one of the worst teams in football. I knew they could do it. Without the best player that team has, by the way.
I don't think Paul likes that call.
I just don't like being chastised for, you know.
I don't think he was talking to you.
Well, I think he was chastising people. I mean, who didn't think they were going to win this game?
I think that's
who
he was chastising.
Let's get to some of the emails
here. He's chastising people. I didn't hear anybody pick against the Patriots on the pregame show. Any of our callers or emailers pick a loss today?
Not even the guests from the other team.
The guests from the other team. I mean, Adrian Peterson is the best player the other team had by far. He wasn't playing. There was virtually no chance they had of losing this game today.
Megan writes in, while a win is a win, I thought the offensive play calling was questionable at best today.
There you go, Andy.
I'm really confused on why Brandon Bolden is even in the game and why plays are called for him. The defense improved a little, but I also felt like the Vikings were inept. I'm definitely glad they won, but I'm still not confident in this offense. One positive, the secondary made plays, so that's a positive. Thanks, guys, and have a great night. Megan. So there you go. That's very reasonable.
Mm. What do you think of the play, Colin?
I have no problem with it. I did laugh when
I didn't care for it early.
When they ran two straight plays after we had that PPGS listener who said, you know, they're going to come out and run the ball two straight plays. And then on third down, like, that made me laugh a little early.
But I thought they did. They had some more. I think they had a third and long run that was unsuccessful. They had a third and long bubble screen that was unsuccessful. Tom Brady's my quarterback. I can trust him to throw the ball 15 yards downfield without turning it over. I don't like those kind of give-up third downs. But in all, I don't have any problem. I agree with your assessment. I don't have a problem with the play calling.
I'm just not a big play caller.
In general. I just thought there were a couple of third downs that I didn't think needed to be.
I think more often than not, it's about execution than anything else. And now, I kind of agree with her other point about the offense being a little lackluster.
Just lackluster.
But I also thought she kind of contradicted herself, praising the secondary and then kind of criticizing the
Vikings
offense.
The other team for giving it to us.
But, I would say this offense, and we talked about it earlier, it's Edelman and then what? today. It was Edelman, and then you got some of the running game that you really decided you were going to get. You were all in with a fullback and a tackle as a tight end and said you're going to run, and you didn't exactly dominate running the ball under those looks. I still think this offense is very much a finding itself.
Work in progress.
Well, yeah, and finding itself and finding out what they're going to – and Brady always talks about that. It's not like – you know, most often that's what you do. It's rare that in 2007 you come out and just balls to the wall. We're going to have 35 points at halftime every time we play. That's very rare. That's the exception, not the rule. So it's not terrible that they're still looking. Now, the question is the personnel. You know, you said it earlier, Kembrell Tompkins inactive. You wouldn't have done that. Well, for all we know, LaFell will be inactive next week, or Amendola.
Right.
And one of those, and it could be a musical chairs until we find guys that are, and we're seeing it at safety on the field. We're seeing it at guard on the field. We may see it in wide receiver if they're all healthy in the lineup.
And I would add that,
by the way, LaFell being active this week makes sense given that they want to run the ball. I didn't see him on the field a ton. I don't know how that played out.
Well, they certainly didn't throw the ball to him a ton, if at all. I don't know if he got any targets.
But if you're coming out and saying, we're going to have a fullback, we're going to have an extra tight end.
And he's known as a blocker.
He's the guy.
And by the way, who else didn't you see much today? Tim Wright. So if that's the game plan that they had, they sort of put LaFell in that extra tight end role, instead of Tim Wright, who was just a pass catcher.
Tim Wright just called to say he was open on the last play.
He's still running. He's still running himself open.
He never saw the ball.
But when I made the point about Tompkins, and I don't want people to misunderstand, I don't think that that's a major personnel decision that's going to have impact on the game. You know, whether it's Tompkins or LaFell or Amendola.
Unfortunately,
we're talking about
right.
complimentary guys. I don't think they're going to have a huge impact on winning and losing.
See, but that's unfortunate. The fact that they're all lumped together is unfortunate.
Nick from Illinois echoing something that Paul said. Hey, guys, I have a question about the play calling. Why is it always a run on third and long every single time for 2 years? Does Josh think that Tom Brady stinks?
You know, I don't think it's every single time, but there were a couple today that there was the first drive. It was run, like Andy said, and it was third and 10 or 11, and they ran it again, and Vereen – you know, fooled him, but not enough to get the first down. And then later it was third and 10 or 11, and they ran a bubble screen to Edelman that he's going to have to break four or five tackles on. That's a play he actually fumbled on. And Conley bailed him out and saved 3 points on. Third and 11 from the 30-yard line, I trust Brady's not going to turn it over and cost me points. I want to throw the ball. I want to get him, you know, drive the ball downfield. He's not a mistake-prone quarterback.
No. Quite to the contrary.
So I don't know how much of that is Brady and how much of that is Josh, but I do think I agree with the emailer. I do think they fall into that a little too often.
Go ahead.
I know we don't really have a hashtag for the postgame show,
yes.
And we don't really aim to interact via Twitter as much necessarily. But Gary Renault said 6 points in the second half of first two games is concerning, along with entirely way too many penalties. So, you know, maybe people are a little more critical on Twitter than they are on the phone line.
You know what? It's funny. The game was so uncompetitive in the second half, I didn't realize that. I didn't, like, in my head, they only scored 6 points in the second half.
Right.
And they had turnovers again in the second half, just didn't do anything with them. They had a long punt return, too. I sound a little like Ditka right there, where I stopped my sentence in the middle and went on to the next one.
Shut up.
Okay.
Let's go to Steve. He's in Pennsylvania. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
So, listen, I'm glad we won, and there's a lot of things I got to go over, but what annoys me the most is that for the last 2 weeks, and today, we had 15 penalties for 163 yards, and I just don't see, like, what's going on with that. We really got to clean that up, you know?
Yes, there is no question that's not good. And the penalties are in a variety of different areas. Offensive pass interference, for example. Holding. Nate Solder getting 3 penalties on a 2-play stretch. That's not good. It's not like you just have one thing where, you know, it's the Lions and they're all cheap defensive line penalties or something like that.
Right.
Although we could have had one of those, I thought, with Easley hitting Matt Castle in the back of the head with a shiver after a play. They're sloppy right now. There's no other way to put it. They're sloppy.
More Brandon Bolden hate here on the emails. Any team that gives or gives Gary / touches to Brandon Bolden can sure get better at running back. A lot of that coming in about Brandon Bolden.
I feel like I was on an island when I used to say these things about
Bolden.
Oh, I don't
think so.
And now everybody hates it.
Another email says, the offensive line is causing far too many penalties. At one point, Solder had three in a row, and Brandon Bolden is so unimpressive.
I'd like to we try to bring balance to this show, but I have never really, I don't know. I've never seen the value in Brandon Bolden. I really haven't.
Chad from the ATL writes in, I would hate for everyone to get too excited for this defense today. No Peterson forcing Castle to throw, inducing the interceptions. I still think the defense needs work. Kyle Rudolph looked like Gronk out there.
He sucks, by the way.
Speaking of...
No, he sucks. Hold on.
Is that good or bad?
He can't...
I'm not trying to be Andy-like on that. Like, you talking about like Gronk right now or Gronk in general? Because I thought he looked awful today.
He writes, Kyle Rudolph, if you let me finish the email, Andy, you could make some sense of this.
That was me. That was my fault.
Andy cut me off, and then you kept going. Andy...
Now he hates us both.
Kyle Rudolph
wants his own post-game show back.
Kyle Rudolph looked like Gronk out there. Speaking of, where the F was he? Gronk needs to suck it up and stop being can we say that word?
No, we don't say that word. We only let Fred say it.
Okay, stop being
Who's the Gronk now?
And get some catches.
I don't blame Gronk for anything.
No, I don't either. He's coming back.
He's told when he comes. But do I think there's a lack of effort or something?
No.
I mean, he's told when to go in.
To the contrary, he caught a pass today.
Oh, yeah, go down.
And he's dragging, guys, and we're all yelling, go down, go down.
Stig from Norway writes in, hello from Norway. Andy Blowhard Hart just keeps ragging on my man, Nate Ebner, but he never gives any reasons for the negativity. What exactly did he do today that was bad?
Oh, no, I didn't see anything specific today. I've seen it every day on the practice field all summer.
He writes, I think Ebner has been solid throughout the preseason and put in a decent performance today. Also, please explain to me why it is that you hate Ebner.
What did he do that was decent today? I would kind of turn the table on him.
He didn't do anything. I mean, he made a tackle, but he didn't play a lot of defensive snaps.
No, he didn't. But I will tell you, every day on the practice field, I had a play where I shook my head and said, he can't get there like a normal safety does. You know, so you can question me, but my opinions are based on observations in practice. We go to practice every day, and we sit there for 3 hours, and some of us don't stick our thumb up our ass and talk. We watch the practice field. And I can tell you that I watch Nate Ebner struggle in his practice reps on a daily basis.
Ghost writes in, I love Dante Hightower. I called in and told you guys in the preseason that James White would end up being preseason fizzle. Thanks, Ghost.
I don't know if it was him that I remember, but I do remember getting calls and emails about James White in the preseason thinking that we were way too high on him.
Well, we were way too high on him based on practice. Because he sucked in the preseason, and we kept talking about that. Underwhelmed in the preseason.
Yep, he didn't have any moments.
He would have like 2 yard runs.
Didn't have any moments in the preseason.
Snowman.
Now he did on the practice field.
Snowman.
Again, I don't want to get all pissy, and I know fans apparently don't care about practice because, you know, everybody tells me James Anderson sucked. Well, then you didn't watch practice action on the fields out here. And I don't know, Bill Belichick often tells me that some of those practice reps are every bit as valuable as the game reps because they spend a lot more time on the practice field than they do on the game field. And yep. A lot of those practice reps actually happen with full pads on and actually now in this day and age, another team on the field because you're practicing with other teams for multiple practices. But all I've said, James Anderson, I want to bring fans up to date on what I saw this summer because everybody questions us. I saw Nate Ebner not do a very good job with regularity coming over. There were a lot of plays where you'd say safety help didn't get there. He allowed a big play. He couldn't do the job. I saw a lot of plays where, yes, James Anderson, who's no longer with us and is no longer in the NFL, was showing himself a capable coverage man from the linebacker position, running stride for stride with running backs and other athletes out of the backfield. I had another one. What was the other one?
I don't know.
Who are we talking about?
Snowman writes in.
James White.
Bolden.
James White had a lot of nice plays on the practice field. He did not in the preseason. I like how Paul knows.
Sorry, Beetle.
I still got a little something left in me. James White made plays on the practice field. I know those of you that never came to practice or saw practice or read our practice updates
don't believe it. You weren't there.
No, that's not my point.
My point is a lot of people don't get to go to practice. They act like we pull stuff out of our asses and out of midair and just come up with these ideas. Like, today I'm getting praised on Twitter. Oh, you said it, Andy. James Devlin does have pretty good hands. I didn't make up out of thin air that James Devlin had good hands. I watched him do square drills with receivers and tight ends and not look out of place. I watched him on the practice field catch the ball well when it was thrown to him, and that is the basis for our assessments. But for some reason, people think we just spew from the mouth, and I agree. There are a lot of people in the media that do spew from the mouth. But I like to think at PFW, generally, we base it on things we've observed on the practice field. Rant over.
Okay, rant over. Snowman writing in, Bolden can't play. Four carries for 0 yards. Yikes. Right,
there's a little bit too much fixation on Bolden.
There's a lot of it today.
Four carries.
Yeah.
But listen, four plays, four carries.
Yeah.
Why are we fixating on that?
I don't know. I don't have any more rant.
I don't have any disagreement whatsoever about Brandon Bolden. I don't, you know, to sound like that 98.5, the Sports Hub guy on Marchand, I don't even understand Bolden.
I don't even know why Bolden's here.
I don't have any rational explanation as to what they love about him. But he's playing a very, very small role.
Right.
Why that would be something that we've gotten at least 5 emails on.
It is a little weird.
It's weird to me.
And he didn't. Did he do anything today that was awful?
Well, 4 carries for no yards.
No. But, like, did he miss a pass protection and get Brady killed? Did he fumble? Did he go the wrong way on a handoff? I don't remember anything other than non-production.
Yeah.
What did he do to earn the wrath of these fans?
Getting a lot of it today, though. Chris writes in, thank God Matt Cassel sucks. The Patriots would have been destroyed with a legitimate close game with a decent running game. Nothing was answered by this game except that they can take advantage of a bad quarterback that lost its star player. Also, Paul should drink one beer every time a selected phrase is mentioned throughout the 2 hours. A Paul Perillo drinking game.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. We should institute that.
Now, is that my selected phrase? Or just that I have to drink?
No, you have to drink. We have to figure out what the phrase would be.
Now, but would we know it? That. Or is it this? We wouldn't know.
Yeah, we would know it.
No, if I'm drinking.
I would just say it all the time.
Maybe I just tend to get drunk.
Is it because of me?
I guess
do I use the same phrases all the time?
It would have to be something Paul would say.
That's what I'm saying. Do I use the same phrases all the time?
I don't know. We have to figure that out.
We were going to go drink.
I don't think we do, because I don't think we're allowed to have Paul drink.
No, I can't.
Because not only is this a professional environment, but then he has to drive an hour home.
Right. Well, I mean, believe me, that's the first and foremost. Is, you know, I could get by the regulations. I got to drive home.
Two emails here that I want to read, both on the same topic. Matt from Austin writes in,
Bolden sucks.
Did y'all like what you saw from Easley today with his limited role? I thought he looked explosive, and he was sold to us as being disrupted. Also, Danny from Spain, hey, Easley already making a play. What do we think about Dominic Easley today?
Go ahead, Paul.
I mean, at the risk of being
negative,
Debbie Downer, he made a nice athletic play diving to catch the interception.
Yep.
Did not notice him on any other play.
Other forearm to
and
Castle.
I don't think that he played all that much, to be honest with you. Did he? Didn't seem like he played that much. Certainly in the first half, I didn't notice him a ton.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I noticed him a ton.
I didn't notice him very much. And I know that the four-on play that you're talking about, I think, was after a sack.
Yeah.
And he sort of gave a little extra polish, four-arming Castle in the back of the head on the way down. I didn't really notice much out of him. I don't think he played badly. I didn't notice him
very negative.
And on the negative side either. Negative.
Let's go to the phones. Melvin's
Did
in
you
Tennessee.
Notice him?
Nope.
Okay. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's up, Melvin?
Not much, man. And I was not going to say this prior to what you all, I mean, in relation to what you all said, but offensively, they should have had way more points than that. To be honest, that offense, I've talked about the Amendola thing. We're missing a weapon very bad.
Yes.
It's getting ridiculous now, and it's even gotten worse with Amendola. I mean, you said 2 targets. We can't have that. You won't beat good football teams with Julian Edelman. I'm sorry.
Yes.
That's the Vikings. They suck.
Now, what's making it even worse is the situation with Gronkowski right now.
Right.
Because you don't even have... Right. He didn't play a ton in the first half. He's in a limited rotation of reps, whatever it is, and he's not producing even when he is out there.
Right.
So now you're really, it's one, because this offense last year was pretty good when it was Gronkowski and Edelman, and then a little Vereen, a little everybody else sort of filling in. But right now, you're Edelman and just nothing else.
It's the Edelman show.
Yeah. And I love him. I think he is, you know, he had another chance at a deep ball today. We've talked about that for the last few weeks. His opportunities to go deep, make some plays down the field. But the bottom, and we saw it today. He got a little banged up, a little. You know, he's taking some hits. He's getting up slow at least twice. He had the head over the middle, and then he had. I don't really know what the other one was, but he got up slow after the. That was the penalty, right? That's going to happen. I mean, we marveled at him playing the whole year last year. Well, if he's the only guy, then we're really going to marvel if he makes it through the whole year as the only guy with any consistency.
Yeah, he's got knocked around a little bit in these first two games.
That's because Brady's just going to keep throwing to him.
Something to keep an eye on.
Let's take a quick time out here on the Xbox One post-game show. The number is 855. I almost just gave
617.
Yeah, don't do that. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, as we collect more of your thoughts on the Patriots' win as they move to 1-1 after beating the Vikings earlier today. Also coming up next, we will hear from the head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, as well as quarterback Tom Brady. That's next. Go nowhere.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
The Xbox One Patriots post-game show is your source for immediate locker room reaction following every Patriots game. Hear exclusive live player interviews right from the New England locker room and all of the latest news and notes from the game. Join Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show.
Patriots with a win today, 30-7 on the road over the Adrian Petersonless.
Now that's a good one.
Wow,
the Peterless,
the Adrian Petersonless, not the Peterless.
Well, I don't know for sure. I've never, you know.
Yeah. Wow. It'll be John Halam on the mound against El Duque.
He just compared you to Pete Shepard. That's not exactly.
Joe Hijimi.
I've never done that.
I love Glenn in the background.
Just to rein it in a little bit, because Mark is taking us off the tracks here. The AFC, NFC, the people that believe the NFC, the dominant conference, taking a little hit today, early on in the 4 o'clock games, with this Seattle taking it from San Diego and Green Bay taking it from the Jets.
And Cleveland beating the Saints earlier.
You know, the Saints just might suck.
Well, they were supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. Everybody was telling me.
They also lost to an NFC team last week. But yeah, maybe
you're
the AFC.
Making my point.
And the Patriots, of course, beating up on the Vikings. The Peterless Vikings.
Peterless Vikings. These are the scores right now, 21-3. The Jets leading Green Bay right now. That's insane. Oh, I'm shocked by that. The other game is San Diego up 20-7 on Seattle. Less surprised with that one. Far more surprised with this Jets score. And maybe
you're not surprised by San Diego beating Seattle after you mocked me so mercilessly for picking San Diego?
See, but I think San Diego is a better team than the Jets.
I think the quote was the team that
greatest,
never won
greatest
anything.
Team that never was. I always pick against them. They are.
But, yet you're not surprised.
If you're asking me if they can be competitive in a regular season game, my answer would be yes. If you're asking me if they're going to find their way to the Super Bowl,
I would just like to see what would surprise
hell
you.
No.
Am I wrong, Andy?
Hell
I'd just like to see what would surprise them.
I don't know. I'm staying out of your spat.
That game's long from over, Paul.
Well, I'd say it was over, but you're not surprised that they're winning 20-7, yet you think they're the worst team ever.
Green Bay Jets game is long from over.
Oh, I agree. Especially with
three full quarters.
The Jets involved, Geno Smith could turn it over 5 times from here on in. As we all stop and talk.
Yeah, as we all stop and watch the game. Let's go back to the phones. Craig's calling us from Ontario. After Craig, we're going to hear from Bill Belichick. What's going on, Craig?
Hey, guys. I got a little rant for you. This third down play calling is absolutely ridiculous. To not have Gronk on the field at all, basically on third down, I think he was on there for like maybe 2 plays, is absurd. He's the only player on our team that commands double teams. So why is he not out there?
That is a great question. Now I'm going to be my typical coordinator apologist and say, who do you think has decided that?
I think McDaniels, and I think he should be fired. This is absolutely absurd.
I thought the answer you were hoping
for. How many
for?
Times has he run it on third down? Every
lots.
Time, Vereen, oh, it's a draw play. Wow, I'm shocked. I think every scout in the league knows it's going to be a draw play on third down with us.
I think your Gronkowski point is a better point than necessarily the play calling, and I don't know that to be true. I don't know how many third downs, but if you're going to limit Gronkowski snaps, you should limit them to third down plays. He should be on the field on third down, even if you don't want to throw it to him.
Craig,
I agree with his point.
Craig button-hooked me. I thought he was going to say Belichick.
Because
I would have said Belichick. I would have assumed that whatever the plan is for Gronkowski, it very much involves Bill Belichick. I may be wrong. Again, I'm an apologist for the
coordinators. But don't you think that if you're going to have him for less than ideal situations, he's not going to be able to play all. Maybe you're going to play him 35%, 40%. Third downs in red zone are when you want him on the field. And if that's true, if Craig is right and he's not on the field for most third downs, that doesn't make any sense to me. Because he does present a double team for the other team and from the opponent, and you're wasting it.
The head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, went to the podium after this game today. I'm having a hard time here, Andy.
Is he Peterless?
That I don't know. He was asked today about everything that happened in the NFL this week. I'm told he answered that question.
That's interesting.
And we're about to hear all of it. Here was Bill Belichick after the game.
Well, that was a real good team win for us today. Really proud of the team. We got great contributions from all three areas. Thought our special teams did a real good job. We had a couple big returns, obviously the block kick by Chandler. Offensively, we had more balanced attack than we had last week, which is what we needed. Had a lot of runs, play actions, converted some big third downs, converted some red area opportunities. And, defensively, we had a lot of turnovers, plus the block kick. So, that's a good formula. Obviously, still a lot of things we need to work on. We're a long way from being where we need to be. But we certainly made progress this week, and hopefully we can go back and have another good week of practice and grind it out and continue to improve, which we need to do. But it's good to come up here and see the team play as well as they did, play hard for each other, play well as a team, good complementary football from all three units, and that's what we need to do. The team played hard today.
I know you're all about the team, Bill, but I know how much NFL history means to you. You're the sixth coach in NFL history to hit the 200-win mark in the regular season. What does it mean to you personally?
It means a lot. I mean, what it really means is I've coached a lot of good football players. Those are the guys that win the game. Players win games in this league. And I've been fortunate to have the opportunity to coach a lot of great players. And so that's really about them winning the games, but that's certainly an honor to be, to have my name thrown in there with some of those guys. I'd say really all of whom, maybe other than Curly, that I looked up to as a kid and admired and maybe borderline worship, as NFL coaches. So I certainly never got into coaching expecting that to ever happen. So it's very gratifying to reach that milestone, but what it really says is that I've had a lot of good players. That's really what it says.
And special teams wise, punting units seemed very long punts inside the 10 a couple times.
I thought our special teams really responded. I mean, this is a huge challenge. Shrells and Patterson, top return tandem in the league last year. Those two guys are great. Walsh's a good kicker. They've got real good special teams units. Joe Marciano's an excellent coach, done a good job, and Mike Prefer, whoever you want to call it, but either way, and we knew it was a big challenge to come in here with their units, their specialists, the production that they've had in the past, and the schemes that they have. But our guys really met the challenge. Slater and certainly, our specialists, Julian, Danny, Ryan, Steve, those guys, they played well. And any time your specialists play well, then there's a good chance your special teams are going to play well. So those guys did a good job. We got a lot of, down some punts inside the 20, gave us an opportunity for good field position. So they played good.
Bill, it's been a rough week in the NFL. I know you don't speak for anyone but your own self, your own team. But as a historian of football and someone who loves the league, what can you guys do to move forward and make things better?
Well, I think we need to do what we always do, and that's take care of our job and do our job and try to do it well. So, and that's what we'll focus on and continue to focus on. We really can't control anything outside of what we do, and we just got to do the best that we can and leave all those other things to the process and so forth. I mean, it's certainly unfortunate. I have a lot of personal respect for, Adrian and Ray, and the whole situation is really unfortunate, the events of what happened. But, we all know what that is. And so it's an unfortunate situation.
Well, some interesting comments there at the end from Bill Belichick as it relates to Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice. Dan Shaughnessy asked him a question about what happened in the league this week. I'm not so sure that was a great answer.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is the place for us to necessarily break down those comments and the time. But certainly I think all three of us in hearing that sort of furrowed our brows and the phrase personal respect seemingly jumped off the audio.
And that was edited down version of that press conference. So I'm not exactly sure what was said.
No, that was the last question.
That was the last question. What was there anything asked before that about that topic? That was the only question on the topic. It's a little bit odd. It seemed like an odd answer. But again,
Stacy gave one last question, and Shaughnessy got it, and that was it.
And that was the one. 855-PATS-500, that's the phone number for you. We go back to those phones and talk to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
Good, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, we're 1-1. We're going to get ready for the Raiders. You know,
I'm ready.
Like last week they said, you know, you can't get too low about that loss the first week, and you can't get too high about the victory this week. I think there's a lot of work to, you know, like penalty-wise, you know, clean that up. I think the offensive line played a lot better. Defensively, we got some heat on the quarterback, and, you know, the exceptions. You know, so defensively, they played a lot better than they did against Miami. You know, there's still a lot of work to do. Brady, at best, was, you know, pedestrian. What did he throw for 150? I mean, you know, I think part of that is the game. I don't know. You know, I don't want to jump on Josh McDaniels too hard here, but I really don't see what the game plan is. I mean, it didn't seem like we were trying to push the ball down the field at all. Okay, you know.
To who?
We were more in the attack. You know, I hate to jump on bandwagon here, but Bolden's your third string running back. And to me, the only reason he should be on the field is if Vereen and or Ridley are gassed. Okay.
Well, for the most part, that's what happened.
Right. He was not on the field.
Ridley got the ball like three or four plays in a row in the fourth quarter, and they brought Bolden in for a play and gave it to him. I mean, that's basically, I mean, he got four carries.
Four carries.
He got the fewest touches out of those guys, right?
Correct.
So that's what he is. He's an extra guy who goes in and spells people.
Dave also mentioned,
but for some reason, he's the bane of everyone's existence. And I don't think much of Bolden. I don't think enough of him to not like him as much as it seems like our listeners
don't. He was the bane of my existence at roster time because I thought he was a consideration to not be on the roster. I thought as you start to break down, you know, stack the roster vertically and horizontally, I didn't care for him. But Paul's right in terms of the game plan today or the results today or the active 46 or any of that. I think he's irrelevant, borderline irrelevant. Now, Dave didn't respond, but he, you know, he talked about not being able to push the ball down the field.
Aaron Dobson would be my answer to your question.
Okay.
Can we at least try and show that he can't do it?
Sure. But I just, until I see somebody who's worthy of those reps, and, you know, I'll play the Patriot fan friend Homer here, till Brian Timms comes off suspension, the guy who's shown the ability to get down the field, they're limited right now offensively. They are limited offensively. They're limited at receiver. They are limited in weapons that can get down the field. And my other thing my next addition to that little apologist era for Josh McDaniels would be, I still think the game plan comes from Bill Belichick. The play calls come from Josh McDaniels. The game plan is put together by all the coaches, and I think Bill Belichick has a large thumb over the top of that process.
Matthew writes in at webradio@patriots.com. Guys, glad we won today, but still having concerns. Here they are. Would like to know what you think. Number one, still unimpressive running game. Zero contribution from Bolden. Why not bring Gray back and see what he can do? Thought he showed some production in preseason. At wide receiver, besides Edelman, what do we have? We have 3-6-3 receivers, Dobson, LaFell, Timms. In order for us to be successful, I think one of those guys needs to step up. Maybe it will be Timms as the other two guys disappear in games.
How tall is Tompkins?
Tompkins is 6 foot. Good size, isn't he?
Oh, I thought he was a little taller than that.
Maybe 6'1". But why does it have to be like a 6'3 guy? Why can't it just be another guy that can play?
I'll take anybody.
I don't.
And that's why I've been arguing for Amendola. I think Amendola has a more proven track record in the NFL than any of these other guys.
Well, I think that's fact, not opinion.
And so just because he's not tall, because he's too similar to Edelman, I still think a better job needs to be done trying to get him involved. Easy there, host of the show. We're trying to host a show here.
Sorry, I bumped the table.
Antonio Allen needs to make that pick.
And
Yeah, shoot, I had something good. I forget.
Amendola is without question the most proven NFL player of those other receivers.
Does it feel like it? The way he is.
No, and I also.
Yeah. Non-consideration,
I would say.
One target the whole day.
He is not even a consideration to be a factor.
Here's part of the question, I think.
Did he fail today miserably?
I don't know. And I'd like to go back and take another look. And I've done this, it feels like, 10 times since he got here at the start of
all
last
22.
Year. Not all 22. Just go back and focus just on him. I don't even think you need the all 22 a lot of times.
He's not on it a lot of times.
Was there anything
you
did out there?
You have to go to like the all 26.
Right? Is there any reason that Brady never looked his way? Like, where was he? Because it feels like Brady never looks his way.
And it's about 2 weeks after Brady admitted, if I don't trust you, I won't look your way. Which I found was interesting.
And I feel like that's a case with LaFell already.
And the Globe is on it big time. Between, what's his name?
Ben Volen,
who was the first to report it last year. I don't know. But Ben Volen first reported last year, buried in a Sunday Notes column, that Tom Brady didn't have this working relationship, trust, comfort with Danny Amendola, and he might get cut. He didn't get cut. He's still here, but he might as well have been cut, because he's cut from consideration.
Right.
He is not a consideration to be a factor in the offense right now, and I would say, why not? And does he deserve more? And have you invested in more? You gave the guy a $30 million contract. You thought he was something that was valuable to your team. Now, the argument Paul will give me is the replication of skills with Edelman and Amendola. You didn't know Edelman was going to become the guy. You expected Amendola. You paid him to become the guy.
But in addition to that, I would say why? I mean, I agree with you that Amendola has done more than those other guys in the NFL, but we drafted Aaron Dobson in the second round with the belief that he could do something.
Right.
And I don't think it's much different than the belief that you gave Amendola $31 million to do something.
Right.
I think
the
it's,
difference is one's healthy, and I think one is working to help.
No, I know.
I think Dobson is kind of Gronkish, like kind of working
you
back
might,
into it.
You might
it.
Be right, and I'm not complaining that Dobson didn't get more action today. That's not my point. But when you make the point that Amendola has done more, I would agree with you, but we don't know about Dobson yet. We don't know what he's capable of doing. And I've seen little glimpses of his ability to do something. I really saw glimpses of Amendola once, the opener last year. Everything else he did the other 15 games was utterly pedestrian.
Sure. Agreed.
Now, that was maybe because of the groin. That was maybe because Brady hasn't developed his trust. He has trust issues. I don't know what it is.
You know what
he hasn't done anything.
Is utterly pedestrian? Every receiver on this team not named Julian Edelman right now. That
I can't argue with you on
completely
that.
Reasonable,
and I think that's problematic.
And I think that
you've invested there.
You really
money,
get
resources.
Problematic when, depending on what you think of Edelman, because I think Edelman is fine. But
that's where Paul gives you a little tone.
I don't
depending on what you think of Edelman. And I'm telling him my tone. I don't think much of Edelman.
I don't put him far above the pedestrian category.
Well, then I was just disrespect. I mean, I gave the other guys too much respect, because if that's pedestrian, then those guys are what's lower than pedestrian?
Bad.
The bad.
Well, I think in some cases, I think
bad.
What I've seen from Tompkins is bad. What I've seen from LaFell so far as a Patriot, not fair. Only two games, bad.
Bad.
I would agree with you.
855 Pats 500. That's the phone number.
Just took a negative spin.
Open lines for you.
Big
right
victory.
I think that if you want, and
I blame that one guy on Twitter who said 6 points in two games in the second half.
Someone opened up the show by saying that. No, it might have been Melvin in Tennessee. You know. You're not going to beat good teams with just Julian Edelman.
He's right.
And I agree. It's not Calvin Johnson that you're centering your offense around. It's Julian Edelman. And good teams are going to find a way to limit the one big play that he makes every game.
But no one thinks you're going to beat good teams with just Julian Edelman.
Right.
They know you're
going
to have Gronk, and they expect you're going to have Vereen or somebody else. That other receiver spot is just the death hole right now.
Ian from the UK writes in, hey guys, great result today, but can we please stop the penalties? Can Brady please throw to other receivers than Edelman? Where is Dobson? Where is Amendola? If we keep going to Edelman, he's going to get hurt at some point, and then where will we be? Full credit to the defense today. They had a great bounce back from last week. And then also, just a thought, but did you think we may have seen Garoppolo play the last few offensive snaps just to get him some game time?
Yes, but we didn't.
Which I think needs to change. If they believe that Garoppolo is the next quarterback for this team,
and they do,
they should put him in there in these situations
and
the
Bill
end of a 30-7 game.
Bill's on the record. He needs reps. He needs to play. He needs experience. And
You had an opportunity today where you could have got him something.
Even if it aggravates TB12, go ahead and
do
it.
Now, do you legitimately think that's why they don't do it? That they don't do it because TB12 gets aggravated?
I don't think that's why.
Because that flies in the face of everything Bill Belichick has ever said about in the best interest of the
right.
football team.
I don't think it, well, I mean, he could, if that were the case.
Well, he could spin that any way he wants. You're right. But oh, Brady's going to sulk because we let mop-up duty, like every other team in the history of football has ever done. Mop-up duty. It's existed for forever.
The drinking phrase, by the way, according to Chad on the email, is Brandon Bolden. Anytime someone says Brandon Bolden, Paul's going to have to drink. That's
today you would have had a lot.
But you know what's funny? Like, I really thought that was a big-time shot at me. Like, I had continued to use
phrase. It's just that we need to get Paul drinking on the program.
Yeah,
well, that's really liven things up.
I know from experience he's a lot more fun when he drinks.
I'm all for it.
He doesn't get quite as pissy. He's a much more playful drunk. Talks a lot. Slurs his words a little.
That's regular talk with me.
Florida Phil writes in, after listening to all of your enlightened comments and your listeners' comments, I need to know how many points the Pats lost by today. Thanks, Florida Phil.
It's not from our comments.
Not from our comments. I was very positive.
I already talked about the team meeting that we had on the way down. We went very positive.
I mean, we talked about the bounce back effort. You must have missed the beginning of the show. We talked about Chandler Jones. We talked about Tom Brady. We talked about Julian Edelman. Now, we can just whistle past the graveyard and ignore the elephant in the room and whatever other cliche I can throw out there. It wasn't perfect. There were some issues on the field. 15 penalties, not good.
Let's go to an email from Al from Paramus.
And no offensive production wasn't good either.
And that wasn't even us. That was Gary or somebody on Twitter that brought that up.
Al wants to know how we thought Brady looked today. The Minnesota announcer said his skills have diminished. Also, just a nice little stat he includes here. Since 2000, Patriots 38-1 when they have a 100-yard rusher in the game.
Yes.
Pretty good stat. How do you think Brady did today? I said he was efficient. That's how I describe it.
He managed the game.
Yep.
He became 2001 Tom Brady today.
And what did he have in common with 2001 Tom Brady?
They won the Super Bowl. No?
Oh, no, I was going to go with a lack of impressive weapons.
That's true.
True. I was going to say whatever this week's Tom Brady was much better than last week's Tom Brady. I don't know what last week's Tom Brady was.
I'll tell you what last week's Tom Brady was. Was the Tom Brady you get when Cameron Wake gets into Tom Brady's mug.
Speaking of Tom Brady, let's hear from the Patriots quarterback. Let's see what TB12 had to say after the big win. That's
that was the wrong cut.
That's
exactly.
Shut up.
He wasn't professional.
I think we got a lot of work to do. So it's good to win. We'll get back to work on tomorrow.
Nice to not get hit like last week.
Yeah, I think we had a pretty good control out there. Thought we, you know, did a good job in the run game. Took advantage of some opportunities, but hopefully we can do a lot better.
Tom, how about your special teams and defense? I think 6 sacks, 4 interceptions. Chandler on the block field goal and return for a touchdown. Just thought of maybe the whole team coming up with a big one.
Yeah, they made a lot of great plays. So a lot of great plays, big time plays. That was what we needed. And hopefully they keep doing it. So we got to start producing when we get it and take advantage of some of the things that getting the ball in short field and stuff, getting the end zone.
Julian's role. It seems just, for whatever reason, you and him, more so than anybody, just his ability to battle through things. The touchdown where you had a guy coming free, hung on to it, put it in the perfect spot, still took the hit.
Yeah, he's doing a great job for us. So he's a great player, made some great punt returns. He's a great player for our team. So hopefully we can keep, making improvements, and he's a big part of that. And, hopefully we can all get better.
You seem very downcast. Is there any one thing that you can say, this is something I need to do better, or we need to do better?
I'm happy we won. I wish we'd go out there and play like we're capable. So just the way it is. I was glad we won. It was, a great team win. A lot of guys contributed. A lot of great plays were made. Hopefully, offensively, we can do a better job next week.
Do you think a lot needs fixing with you in the offense, or is it something you look at and you say, yeah, this is fixable as we go forward?
I mean, we're going to try to make improvements. We'll get back to work tomorrow and see if we can do better. Certainly, same way after last week, try to make some improvements, and hopefully we can go out there and do a better job.
Good job Stephen Ridley did today with 100 yards on the ground for you.
Yeah, some great running, great blocking up front.
You know, he always runs really hard. We were really close on some runs to breaking him some longer ones, but that was really important for us to be able to run the ball like that. You know, that's, we're going to need that all season.
149 career wins for you as a quarterback, and number two all time. How does that feel for you?
I'm glad we won. It was, you know, I don't think about those things too much. But I'm glad we won, and you know, hopefully we can do better next week. Thanks, guys.
You got something there, Andy? Would you like to say something?
I can't hear myself. Boy, after listening to that guy, how many did they lose by?
Well, I'll say, you know, in terms
very,
of us being
very
all...
sensitive to the criticism of the program.
Well, in terms of us sometimes. Being all negative on the offense, did you listen to Tom Brady? I mean, that was pretty negative on
he
the
sounded
offense.
Sounded pretty down.
Guy in Florida, I forgot your
sounded
name.
Sounded pretty down.
Well, he was asked basically that question. You know, do you still have a lot of work to do? Well, we still have a lot of work to do on
did
offense.
You watch the game? Maybe that guy in Florida didn't watch the game. Maybe that was the problem.
You're very upset about it. You didn't let it go, Andy.
Do I feel defensive?
You're very defensive. Aaron writes in. Aaron saw this press conference, and he writes, "Hey, fellas, I'm happy with the win. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not sold on where we're at and where we need to be. I've not seen the offense struggle like this in a long time. Brady seems incredibly annoyed at his post-game interview. He knows the offensive line's not producing the way it should. What can we do to bolster that offensive line? It's frustrating to see that they can't just protect Brady. If he keeps getting slammed in the pocket, he's not going to finish the season. Thoughts? Keep it up, boys. Go Pats. Aaron."
I don't put it all on the offensive line. I put it all a lot of it on the offensive line last week. This week, I didn't think the offensive line was nearly as bad. I thought the pass protection was better. I didn't think they ran block as great as they could have, as I said, considering the fact that they came out with an extra tight end on the extra tackle on the field and were clearly focused on that. You know, if I'm the offensive line and I hear criticisms like that, like this emailer, I would say, well, how about you throw to somebody other than Edelman and find some open receivers and get receivers that can get open? I think the passing offense has struggled because of the receivers, too. And I want to pose our question that I posed in the boardroom to Paul Perillo and Mark Bertrand.
Pose.
Who would you rather have right now as a mid-in-season addition to the Patriots coming out of retirement? Tony Gonzalez or Dante's Inferno Scarnecchia?
Dante.
Tony Gonzalez.
Because you need an offensive weapon, and you need the offensive line to be better. I mean,
I think the weapon, to me, is more important. I shouldn't say more important. It's going to bring a lot more value.
Not if Brady's on his backside.
Well, listen, bringing back the coach doesn't guarantee a level of performance from the guys you have up front on offense.
Pretty that's good track true. Record now.
Right? I mean,
that's true, but I mean,
I know he has a great track record.
But as great as Tony Gonzalez is, bringing in him out of retirement to a different system doesn't guarantee that he's going to be that weapon that you think he is either.
Yeah.
But assuming that both work out, I don't know. It's hard to say to what degree the offensive line is going to automatically just get better with his presence.
You know what the silly part of this is? If they wanted to, they could do both. Right?
I like that. That's a good part.
The answer is actually both. Why don't we just sign Tony Gonzalez and bring Dante back? Like, there's no rule. Well, you're not going to violate anything by bringing both back.
All right. Now, the problem with that is, you know, Dante retired and Gonzalez retired, and you're not really in control of either one of those decisions.
No, they're individuals. No, I didn't say it's a guarantee. Their own lives. But open lines, 855-PATS-500. Want to get to Chuck. He's down in Florida and has been waiting patiently. Hey, Chuck.
What's up, Chuck?
Hi, guys. Thanks for being our lifeline down here.
No problem.
I just had a question, and then I'll hang up and listen to your answer. You know, the big news down here was getting Logan Macon and losing Tim Wright. I haven't heard too much with Tim Wright's going on up there. Can you fill me in on that?
Yeah, Tim Wright hasn't done a whole hell of a lot, and today he was a very, very minor part of the game plan, and we were just kind of joking that the last play of the game, Brady threw in his direction, and Wright never even looked for the ball, didn't seem to really be on quite the same page as Tom Brady.
I didn't even see him.
You may have missed the couple
that
plays.
That was the only play, I think, that I can remember him being on the field.
But I would throw him into that whole group of people not named Julian Edelman who are a non-factor in this offense right now and don't have the confidence or rapport with Tom Brady that they need to.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Chuck, thanks for the call. We appreciate you listening down there in Florida. Happy to be a lifeline.
Tell that other guy to lighten up.
Because he knows all the guys in Florida.
Yeah, tell your other friend down there in Florida. Tell your other guy there when you're at the shuffleboard, you know, hey.
This is your guy there.
Lighten up on Andy.
Francis.
Lighten up. 855-PATS-500 is that phone number for you. 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com is the email. If you're on Twitter, feel free to send us a tweet at @Mark_Bertrand, at Jumbo Hart, and at PFW Paul. Those are the Twitter handles you want to be sending those to.
Isn't this usually when you take a shot at me? Paul's not a good follow.
Paul's not a good follow. That's why I put him third on that list, because chances are you'll tweet him something and you'll never see it. So let's go take a quick timeout, and we'll be back with the final segment of the program here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. The Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com. Got the other games going on here in the studios. I'm sure many of you are watching the other games around the league as well this afternoon. Keeping a close eye on San Diego, Seattle. Chargers up 20-14 in that game. They're in the third quarter.
Really good game.
Yeah, you like that game. We got
Paul
Jets.
Thinks that's going to be a really good game.
We got the
so
Jets.
It looks like it's really going to be, but I figured really good game was fine.
Jets Packers in Green Bay. There's 35 seconds to go in the first half with Green Bay driving. With
both games tightening up a little bit.
21-9 the score there. Jets with the lead. So things are getting a little bit closer in those games.
Don't write off the NFC just yet.
No, absolutely not. And okay. The Jets cost themselves, by the way. Geno Smith got buried as he was throwing the ball, and that caused an interception. They were in scoring territory. I don't think they were quite in the red zone, but probably going to get three at the end of the half. Now Green Bay is going to have a chance to get three. So instead of 24-9, it could be 21-12. Big difference.
Just a quick update. Out of Minnesota, Mike Zimmer would not talk about Adrian Peterson, said he'll address that at another time. He was talking football today. Just let you know how he handled that situation or didn't handle it.
It's good to know. I mean, if he does that after a game like this, doesn't it kind of it would indicate that somehow that was, I know this is how it would be played. Had he talked about it today, it would have been played up that the team was distracted and the coach was thinking about Adrian Peterson and everything else.
Right.
And he's probably, as a head coach, trying to focus on the fact that they got beat 30-7 more than anything else.
And give Patriots players credit, they very much acknowledge that they didn't really play the Vikings today. You know, Vince Wilfork, apparently reading some of the tweets, talked about wanting to face Peterson the way they got beat up last week and wanting to challenge the run defense,
yeah,
not being disappointed, not being able to do that. And Devin McCourty acknowledged, you know, that clearly, you know, that's a different Vikings team we played today. That's not the one that they really are.
By the way, the other game in the AFC East today, Bills got a 29-10 win over the Dolphins in Buffalo in that game.
First place, baby. Our time. Week two.
The Bills.
Championship.
You were making fun of the Bills for that today because the excitement was palpable in the stadium. Remember, you were making fun of the Bills in the pregame show.
No, I know. That's what, I'm still making fun of them.
Oh, I'm making fun of Miami because this is Miami's time.
I don't know.
And then they lose.
I'm making
every
fun
time
of
it's
both
Miami's time, they lose.
Yeah. Sammy Watkins with his first career touchdown for the Buffalo Bills today. 8 catches, 117 yards in that game, and the touchdown, a long catch of 30. C.J. Spiller with a decent game as well, 12 carries, 69 yards on the ground, but it really was one big run. He had a 47-yard rush in that game, and there you go. The Bills just like that, 2-0.
He also had a 100-and-some-odd-yard kickoff return for a touchdown in that game.
Very good.
Two, I believe.
He had two?
Two?
No, 102 yards.
Oh. The return, I think the return.
That's a big difference. I added 2 yards to your number as opposed to a full.
I said 100 some odd. I didn't know how many.
Long return is what he had, long return.
Which was, by the way, one of the criticisms I saw on Twitter about Devin McCourty when he had his long interception return. How come he doesn't do that on kick returns when given the opportunity?
That was a great return by McCourty.
It didn't end great. It should have been a touchdown, in my opinion.
I agree with
that. He didn't make a valiant effort for the pylon.
I ask you to look at simply the ability to get to where he got. I mean, great. I agree.
Finish.
He did not finish. He should have been in the end zone.
Now, they made up for it. They got in. Stephen Ridley's CTE in the future paid for it because he got absolutely devastated on two straight plays.
Is that another injured player that we had?
He got crushed.
He did.
Crushed at that goal line on two consecutive plays.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Paul's mocking me.
No, you can get crushed and not get injured.
Right. Let's try
it. I asked if that's another injured player that didn't really get injured.
See if you're injured.
Let's go to Scotty B. in California. Hey, Scotty B.
Hey, how you doing? That's actually Matthew McConaughey here. I was driving my Lincoln down there.
It's a terrible Matthew McConaughey, right? Just based on that first 10 seconds, do we let him continue?
I didn't really get it.
I don't either, but that's what he's
I would vote no.
You vote no?
No, you're out. I didn't even get it.
This isn't Comedy Hour.
Right.
All right, I'll tell you what, Scotty.
What is this, a Lincoln
Scotty,
commercial?
Andy and I make the jokes.
Here's your second chance, Scotty.
Brandon Bolden, everybody drink.
If you drop the McConaughey act, you're back on. Go ahead.
All right, well, I hung out with Barry Ng-Sungni, you know, the Patriots guy that does all the...
Insiong.
Insiong.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Andy. Take it easy.
I don't know.
See, now that's funny.
I'll admit.
That's funny stuff.
I'm a little on edge today, and I don't know why.
Today in Orange County, it was great. We had a great time out here, and it was fun. You know, my girlfriend has a big fake rack, so Andy, you'll appreciate that.
Yes, especially if you send me a photo.
No, they're awesome.
Oh, nice.
That's funny.
My point, well, I was Bill Belichick. I was William from Foxborough in your other thing. When I was going, how you doing, you know, all that stuff.
Yes.
But what
we remember.
I'm saying is, you know, offensive line tonight. Come on. Dude, we did okay.
They did.
It wasn't better.
Much better this week than last, Scotty.
Much better than last week.
I mean, like, they protected Brady. They didn't. He wasn't dirty. I mean, I wanted to do a whole bunch of other jokes and shit.
All right.
Can't talk like that on this show.
Andy can do that.
No.
We're the ones that are funny.
Stop it.
He could say she.
Andy dropped an F-bomb in the pregame.
No, I didn't. I dropped a
He dropped an F-bomb pregame, but you know what? We're not allowing swearing now. It's not like an allowed part of the program. Why'd you change the channel, Paul?
Because the Packers scored a touchdown with less than 5 seconds left in the half.
Alex in Florida up next. Hey, Alex.
Oh, sorry. 8 seconds.
Hi. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Sup, how are you doing?
Okay. Well, at first of all, I have to say, phew, because after watching the first offensive series, I was feeling not confident, but I'm happy to get the first win, and I'm happy to see everybody playing better. I think, as far as the defense is concerned, they definitely have a lot of work to do, but hey, if Castle's going to give them gifts, who are they to refuse them?
Right, so, but the question is, what happens when those gifts don't come?
Oh, no. The gifts, don't trust me. The gifts are going to sit. The registry has been completed. Anymore gifts are coming.
It is true.
I guess my question is looking forward. I'm absolutely not understand, except for Brady, which is like, I guess he has a right to do what he wants because he's Tom Brady. But if he's not going to throw to LaFell and he's not going to throw to Amendola, is it wrong to think that one of them will go when Tim comes back? Because don't we have to clear up our spot for him?
Well, if you assume Tim's is going to be on the roster, there's a very good chance won't be on the roster.
When he comes off of the 4-game suspension, they're not going to give him a shot. What are they going to do with somebody? Somebody's got to go.
Well, yeah, I don't
assume
that. I
would say someone's going to have to get hurt to go.
Yeah, he could just end up on the practice squad or not at all. And, you know, I've talked about this. Everybody says 4 weeks. A lot of times you get a roster exemption for a week, so you can stretch it out into 5 and keep kind of pushing it back to see if somebody gets hurt or something happens. But right now they have one extra guy. They've had a healthy scratch at receiver for 2 straight weeks. And I just don't, as much as I sort of jokingly said earlier, he's the only one who's proven himself, you know, able to get downfield. He didn't play a single snap with Tom Brady, right?
Right. And I was just going to say, what makes anyone confident that he would throw the ball to Timms?
Now, it is a problem, by the way.
He's not throwing it to LaFell. He's not throwing it to Amendola, but he's going to throw it to Brian Timms.
You know, Beatles, buddy on the radio, Mike Felger, goes on these whole rants about what was wrong with Brett Favre late in his career. Well, this feels like it's going down the road of what was wrong with Tom Brady late in his career, right? He has this refusal or, you know, inability to create rapport with young receivers, new receivers, guys who may be off by a quarter of an inch or whatever it may be. This feels like we may be looking back at this and say that was a problem for the last 3 years of his career, or the last four years, or whatever it is.
They're paying him $30 million. They're not paying him $30 million to do nothing. I mean, I don't understand why someone can't go to Brady and be like, dude, you got to make it work. I mean, we're paying this man a lot of money. But yeah, I think, you know what I was thinking was, because everyone always complains to me, you know, being a Patriots fan, oh, what do you have to complain? You win the championship every year. And I'm like, but I keep seeing the same things every year. You know, the deep offensive line failure to protect him. We don't have a wide receiver. We don't have the deep threat. You know, we have questions with our defense. But I was thinking about it the other day. Would we have the legacy that we have if we were in a different division? How good of a team are we really? Or are we just the benefits of being in a subpar division?
Well, I think you would have the championship legacy. You might not have the longevity legacy that everybody praises for the last 14 or 15 years. Yeah, you would have the titles.
You've had some teams that were, if not the best every year, they were among the best. Now, I would agree with you. There have been some other years that you've won the division and even gotten to advance in the playoffs because you won the division and got a bye. That maybe, like, 2011 was a year they went to the Super Bowl that I didn't think they were one of the best teams in football. Now, like, they were a blink away from winning it all, but I didn't think they were the best team in football. But 2007, they were certainly the best team in football for the balance of that year. 2004, I agree with Andy. They'd still have the titles.
And you might be the Steelers instead of what you're seen
helped.
As.
It's
I mean,
helped.
Look at the Steelers who have bounced between a title, then a down year or an 8-8 year. Don't make the, you'd probably be closer to what the Steelers have been under Roethlisberger than what you've been with the consistent year after year division title.
Yeah.
And then my last question is Gronk an issue that he's not 100% yet? Is it mental? Is it both? Like, what? Because he seemed a little bit better this week than last week, and I definitely think the heat had a major factor last week. But what do you think is keeping him from being all the Gronk that he can be?
I think we were wrong. I mean, I won't speak for us. I didn't think the knee would be as big an issue to him. I was wrong. I didn't think he was a guy that made his money with lateral movement and quickness and that might be limited, much like we saw Welker when he was not Wes Welker for that year. So far, for two games, I was totally wrong. He does not look like Gronk out there. He doesn't look anywhere near as... I don't think he's hurt. I just think it's part of the process, the coming back process for pretty much everybody not named Adrian Peterson. And I'm talking about Peterson and his ACL role. No other issues that I'm addressing with Adrian Peterson at this point. I'm like Mike Zimmer.
All right, Alex, thanks for the call.
But the other thing with Amendola, who if you're good. Okay, just go.
Just go?
I had something about Amendola there.
Can't think of it?
I can't. I really can't. I can't for...
Let's transition back to the defense. Jonathan writes in, hey, guys, in my opinion, Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower were monsters on D. It's a lot more fun seeing Hightower attacking the quarterback than trying to cover running backs in passing situations. Edelman looks great on punt returns. He had a good day, too. I'm concerned that Brady still doesn't look great. His throws seem off, including on some short throws. The team will have to be a lot more disciplined. 15 penalties and 163 penalty yards is not a recipe to be successful.
I don't think it's surprising that a guy who is 270 pounds, in my opinion, the further he gets from the ball and the further he gets from the line of scrimmage, the worse he looks. And now we're seeing him more near the ball and more near the line of scrimmage. I think he's better there. Look at him. He's a big, big man who I think short area quickness. You know, he's not that much smaller than some of those guys he's doing battle with in there, tight ends, even tackles. He's a thick human being who I think can fare better in there than he can, as he says, you know, trying to chase these little running backs down the sideline or out in the flat. So I just keep him in the middle, keep him in near the line of scrimmage, and let him do his thing.
Brian writes in, Paul, I predicted the Patriots would lose today.
Oh,
hear me out.
I missed it.
Not necessarily lose to the Vikings, though.
Oh.
This is an Andy Hart like explanation or something. Here.
For me, there were only two scenarios. Number one, our season is a complete waste if they lose to the Vikings. Or number two, there's no way beating an inept AD-less, not a Peterless, but a Peterson-less Vikings team was going to award them enough faith to think they're as good as we had hoped. How about putting Solder on the bad list? Two penalties on one play and then a false start in the next. That's pitiful. Thanks, Brian from Brighton, checking in on the email.
Yeah, I thought overall he played well, but the penalties were a problem.
Guy we haven't talked
across
about
the board.
Guy we haven't talked about yet is Daron Harmon. Tony writes in, Harmon could not be any slower to react.
He was involved in that Logan Ryan play with Patterson when they both kind of got Barry Sandered.
Yeah, yep. And he says, I think Belichick is seeing that safety position is a real problem. That's Tony on the email.
No, because we have the great Nate Ebner, who's been great, according to that earlier caller, or emailer, or whoever he was.
Trey from Dallas, otherwise known as T. Willis, writes, I like how the running game allowed us to have...
Wait a minute, what? He's known as T. Willis?
Yeah, on this program he is.
Oh, okay.
He usually checks in after every game. He writes, I like how the running game allowed us to have a balanced attack today.
Belichick mentioned that in his post-game comments.
Yeah, way to take care of a team.
You came in with the clear emphasis, I'm running the damn football.
It's a way to take care of a team that you're supposed to beat.
Now, Paul, in all seriousness, you're going to think I'm mocking you here. I am not. You talked to Cameron Fleming this week about playing. See, why are you doing that?
I did.
About being an extra tight end. You know, just share some of that.
It's not anything he had ever done. I just was curious. Stanford was, and Andy actually gave me the idea to talk to him about it. But Stanford is a power running college team, not a zone run, zone option kind of team like so many others are. So I wondered if maybe he had any experience as that extra tight end, and he said no. When they had used him, he goes, there are times that we used extra linemen and maybe, once or twice, but no, it's not anything he ever had any experience doing. And then I was joking around with him. I said, so, how are your hands? Are you ready to catch a pass if you need to? And he said the last time he caught a pass was in the eighth grade. So probably not looking for extra tight ends.
Hey, it can happen, though. J.J. Watt got his today. Cameron Fleming up next.
Want to remind you that Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system that every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you. Patriots now 1-1 on the year. Next up, their home opener next Sunday in Foxborough against Oakland. What do we think about that one? Early thoughts on that game.
Well, I think right now they're one game out of first place, chasing the Bills, and they have a chance to go 2-1 very easily next week against the lifeless, lifeless Raiders. I think the home crowd will be happy, and I think they'll be 2-1. And I don't know who the Bills play next week, but my guess
chances
is the Patriots will be back in first place.
That is a 1 o'clock kickoff next Sunday here at Gillette Stadium against the Oakland Raiders. You can hear us at 10:45 a.m., beginning with the Patriots pregame social.
Game day, home crowd, baby. We'll have you in the parking lot. We'll get those photos in.
Right.
Interactive to a new level here in Foxborough.
Interactive.
So we will be talking to you a week from now on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Our thanks to everybody for tuning in, calling in, writing in your tweets today.
Even you people that I wanted to fight, we enjoy the interaction.
Even those people
in
Florida.
We take all comers.
Even the people in Florida right, that Andy does not
but
like.
But people don't understand real quick is I like to do that. I like to go back and forth. And I know it's not really a back and forth when it's an email, but I like to battle. That, to me, that's what sports is all about, debate. And I appreciate when fans don't just say, great game, guys, we got to get better. Give me something to talk about, and they did.
So there you have it. Andy Hart has the final word on this one. Patriots get a win 30-7 in Minnesota. We'll talk to you again next week.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devlin in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots are at home for their 2014 home opener against the Oakland Raiders. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Brady for the check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune in to Patriots.com. Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots Postgame Show.